It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time on Monday with Hale Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. And we say hi to the Pride of Ord, Husker standout, Andy Markowski with us. Andy, how we doing? How's your Monday, man?
Yeah, it's that time of year, man. The last college game of the year. So this Monday is better than most Mondays.
It is going to be good. I want to go back to yesterday, 18.7 million viewers for Iowa, South Carolina, and your proud papa of a really talented women's basketball player. Andy, what is this season meant to you? And just kind of put it into perspective with the following, the growth, the viewership, right, of women's sports, women's basketball.
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, obviously, I'm a girl dad. I have three daughters, and you know, Alexis is probably the most visible being, you know, at the university. But you know, it started for me and really for Nebraska with the volleyball day. And then, you know, obviously, the volleyball season built great momentum and then rolled into women's basketball and what Caitlin Clark and, you know, just the energy around Iowa. But I just think the energy in general around women's basketball was at a high level where, you know, I think more first-time viewers came in and realized that, you know, it is fun to watch. I mean, females play with a large amount of skill, fire, competitiveness, sometimes more teamwork than you see on the men's side. So, you know, hopefully, with the increased popularity, they'll continue to see growth and, you know, play in front of good fan bases and, you know, which makes it fun and special for the athletes that put a lot of time and energy into their work.
Andy, what's your take on Caitlin Clark's career as a whole? We had some fun in the first segment talking about the best athletes to never win a ring. Caitlin Clark falls into that category, at least at the college level, but I still don't think you can deny her greatness. What's your just take on her career as a whole?
Yeah, I don't fall into this trap that's going on now where all of a sudden a college athlete needs to win a championship. You only have four tries. You don't really get to pick your roster. So I think you got to be really careful with that argument. I've watched it up close, right? I mean, I think they've knocked Nebraska out of the Big Ten tournament the last 3 years, so that's nine times I've had a chance to see her against Nebraska, and she's a generational talent. I've never seen anything like it. If you would have witnessed the Big Ten tournament where the arena was sold out of Iowa fans in a neutral setting, and then you see 19,000 go and watch them, you know, practice on Saturday before the national title. So, you know, her records speak for herself, but I've never seen one athlete, male or female, just energize, people that wanted to be a part of it and wanted to watch it. She handled it, you know, very, very well with a lot amount of pressure on her. You know, certainly, there was some mannerisms on the court that I think rub people the wrong way, but you can't argue the talent and how fun it was to watch her play and how happy coaches are that they no longer have to figure out a way to not get embarrassed because you were just going in there hoping that she missed a few shots and then score 50 against you because there wasn't really any team that showed the ability of slowing her down. I think UConn held her to 22 and they were, you know, super excited, and most people would consider that a career night, scoring 22 points.
Andy, obviously you can't speak for Alexis, but have you had the conversation with her about what it's like to play against Caitlin Clark, to be on the floor against her?
Oh, yeah, I have it all the time. You know, Alexis, up till this year, Alexis is a highly competitive, you know, person, right? I mean, she wanted to prove herself against the best, and that was to beat Iowa, and you know, they had a chance to do that at home, and then, you know, almost had a chance to do it in the Big Ten finals. So, yeah, Alexis, you know, uh, wanted to go to the Big Ten to play against great teams, and obviously you had a chance to play against one of the greatest players ever. And yeah, we had talks about hard fouls and how to slow her down, and you know all the things that you know competitors want to try to get an advantage. So yeah, it was certainly that I think elevated everybody in the Big Ten, and I know that motivated Alexis in the off season as they had not beat Iowa. I think it was the reason why Jess Shelley came back, and her and Alexis, are on record of after that game that they beat them, that was one of the things that they wanted to accomplish. So I think that as a competitor has helped, all of Big Ten players and coaches, try to get better.
Andy Markowski is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. I want to transition over to tonight's game and continuing with the theme of really, really, really good players, maybe not up to the level that Caitlin Clark plays at, but the matchup of the bigs tonight is one of the most highly anticipated national championship matchups ever. You have Donovan Klingon, or as many people like to call him, Kling Kong, against Zach Edey, the two-time Naismith Player of the Year. What do you make of that matchup specifically tonight ahead of what should be an amazing championship game?
Yeah, I think it's a throwback, right? I mean, the post player in NBA and in college has been minimized probably over the last decade. So to see two teams that play through a post and use a post and have a rim presence with a shot blocker is refreshing for me as a post player. But yeah, you're right. I think both are super talented and will decide the outcome of the game. I think whichever one of them gets in foul trouble, Edey got in foul trouble against Wisconsin, and they lost in the Big Ten tournament. And if UConn loses Clingdon, I just don't think they have enough size to guard Edey. So hopefully both can stay on the floor. But their ancillary pieces are really good too. I mean, both teams have talent up and down their roster. And to your point, I hope it lives up to the hype. I think UConn at its best is better than Purdue, but Purdue also has just found ways to win games, and it might be their year.
Eddie, want to talk Nebraska basketball here? Andrew Morgan, part of the crew now, the 6'10 forward from North Dakota State, picking Nebraska over Minnesota. What do you like about his addition to the roster?
I have not seen tape. I did have a chance to pull up his stats, and like his size and versatility, a highly efficient player. I mean, he shot over 50% from the two, 70% from the foul line, 35% three-point career shooter. It only averaged 23 minutes this year, averaged almost 14 points. So, I don't think that piece, wins you the Big Ten title, but I think Coach Hoiberg is out looking for chess pieces that fit. Obviously you have two big returners in Williams and Gary, and you're trying to fit pieces around them. And he appears to be a very skilled, 6'10 player that can post, can pick and pop, has really shown his efficiency at the mid-major level. And, you look at Alabama's roster, you look at a couple of the guys on UConn, you look at what Fred did a year ago with some mid-major type kids, and I think if you pick the right type of players that fit your system, strength and numbers, and you can build your depth and hopefully build another really good team.
Eddie, what do you think of where Nebraska's at right now? They lost a lot. They look like they're retaining a lot. And then just tell me a minute here about Fred's ability to evaluate, and that has seemed to be really at a high level here the last couple of years when it comes to putting these puzzle pieces together.
Well, I think that portal has changed things. When you were down to high school recruiting, it was a much longer process. You're recruiting 15, 16, 18-year-olds that really, you didn't know how they were going to project. You didn't know, weight room and strength and size and the speed of the game. Now that you have the portal, you're evaluating, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that, have been in a college environment, running college systems, getting guarded by, college-level talent. So I do think you can hone in on, maybe some specific skills that players have and how that fits into your system. How we play defense can maybe protect guys that don't need to be, high-level, two-way basketball players or they need to really be able to go out and defend one-on-one. So, I just think that, you know, 22-year-olds, you're much more of a finished product, where I think you can match, you know, kind of what they've done over 1, 2, 3 years of college and how that projects into your system. And I think the fact that Fred has a system, has a track record, he can sit there and show them on tape how they're going to fit in, which, you know, hopefully accelerates that, you know, that timeline with these portal transfers, because you only have a couple weeks, I think, to woo a transfer, unless you have, you know, a history of recruiting them, you know, prior to them maybe committing to another school. So, you know, I think all that, you know, bodes into Nebraska's favor. I think our collective is, you know, in the top 25 in the country, which allows us to also compete, you know, and that, you know, that bucket where sometimes it comes down to, you know, just a money game and what maybe some kids are looking for. So facilities, a good system, a good style, a need, and collective tends to be the recipe to help fill these rosters.
Andy, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of potential Big Ten transfers to Nebraska. Gavin Griffith's taking a visit this weekend from Rutgers, and then the big man out of Minnesota, Farrell Payne, has shown interest as well.
Yeah, the Payne one surprises me a little bit in the sense of how Fred has used a five and a center and, you know, ability to play out on the floor. However, I thought he did a great job with Alec and kind of how he blended that with Mass. So, you know, I do think it's potential, but Payne is, you know, very strong, very athletic. Certainly would have an offensive and defensive impact on the roster. And then, you know, I always think in conference transfers are unique because those kids know your school and know your style and have been in that environment, you know. So I think all that, you know, potentially could either help or hurt you. You know, if you have a bad environment or they don't like your coaching style, or, you know, if they like Fred's temperament, and PBA has been an unbelievable fun place to play, just ask the players. So, you know, recruiting, you know, in conference is, you know, I think atypical, but I think Nebraska is a school that I think it would help them maybe accelerate kids having an interest in our program, our style, and just the overall culture around Nebraska basketball right now.
Andy, before we get you out of here, we need your prediction for tonight's game. Obviously, I want to make it clear, saying that you're going to bed too late and waking up tired tomorrow morning is not the kind of prediction I'm asking for. That is a given with the start time tonight. What is your prediction, though? UConn, Purdue, who gets it done? Who's maybe an MVP candidate?
Yeah, I just have a hard time picking against UConn. However, they're not going to be able to get Edie out of the lane. You know, Klingon just is not skilled enough to take him away from the basket. So UConn has had games where they have not shot the three well. You look at, I think, Seton Hall, four makes, they lost. I think their other loss, they had three. So the times that they've been beat, they've struggled making a three. So that tells me Purdue, you know, potentially, you know, has a chance if Edie can get a double team. But I'll say UConn wins. A close game, even though my bracket says Purdue wing it all. So my heart says Purdue, but I think UConn is just too long and athletic on the perimeter for Purdue's perimeter players. And I think Klingon does a good enough job on Edie to help UConn win.
Eddie, enjoy tonight. Thanks for the time, bud.
All right, guys. Take care.